save his people from their sins. Jesus saves. Has he saved you? If you missed out on the Sunday school lesson, you missed a blessing. I was touched by that part about the automobile and you're driving 100 miles an hour and you don't pray, Lord, protect me. Every time my grandkids get in the car, they say, Lord, protect us. If you're driving with me, you have to have great faith, I guess is the idea. All right, I'm glad you're here this morning. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Aren't you glad Jesus saves?
Yes.
If you're not saved, I hope you'll be saved by the end of this meeting. Open your Bibles to the very last page of your Bible. The very last page. I'm talking about the part of the Bible, not the concordance and all that stuff. And then turn left one page. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation chapter 21. I have made this mistake over the years, and I just want to remind you, it is the book of Revelation, singular, not Revelations. I don't know if you recognize that, but I was for years saying the book of Revelations, the book of Revelation. So, but it is the book of Revelation. Chapter 21, I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. My text is actually down in verse 8, but we got to get through some first part of this and we'll talk a little bit. He says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All that excitement in the first seven verses, and then we get to verse 8. All that glorious stuff. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? Jesus says, and he saved you, there's going to be a day when you're going to stand in his presence, no more pain.
Yes.
I look around this congregation and I've heard some stories as you're coming through the door. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain. I wake up in the morning, I think, oh, the pain. I try to, the young people, my grandkids got me here and Stephen got me out playing pickleball. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain. You got Matthew here from Poland, or some Matthew, Sammy here from Poland. He says, come on, Grandpa, I want to show you how to do weights. Oh, the pain. Aren't you glad there's not going to be any pain in heaven?
Amen.
Did you know no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death? The death angel won't be passing by in the pearly gates of heaven. No more death. But he says, but, wouldn't it be great if everybody was saved?
Amen.
But, what does he say? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's sobering. That's sobering. The title of my sermon, they always ask me before we come up here, because I guess they put it on YouTube or whatever. You have a title. It's unbelieving. Because when you read this, you could say, I know I have, you probably look at that and you say, yeah, murderers. Yeah, they deserve it. They deserve the lake of fire. And let me just mention here, because there might be some confusion among you, because in chapter 20, it talks about hell. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. And some people have a problem with that, because hell is cast in the lake of fire. Just the best explanation I can give is, take hell as jail and lake of fire as prison. So if you committed a crime and the police officers capture you, they have enough evidence to arrest you, they put you into what?
Jail.
And you await judgment, and then the judge finds you guilty, and then they take you off to prison. Well, that's the same thing. You're captured by God because of your sins, and you're held in hell to the great judgment day, and then the books are open, and you're found guilty. You're not saved. Somehow you have not found the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this morning, your unbelief will condemn you to an everlasting time in a place called the lake of fire. John the Baptist said of Jesus Christ, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there comes one after me. He says in another place, he is the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. Let me tell you this morning that doctrinally, every one of us are going to be baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either going to be baptized with His Spirit unto life, everlasting life, which is the promise of the Father, or you will be baptized with fire in the lake of fire. I hope you will not find yourself in the lake of fire. I hope you find yourself in that eternal day when you have no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. What a glorious day, because Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I've told this story before, but I was in Poland and I was preaching the gospel there, and we had an opportunity to teach English as a way to keep us on the field. And I was teaching English and I taught advanced classes and had a big old whiteboard about 8 feet by 4 feet. Big old whiteboard, had markers on it, and I was teaching on the idiom, they told you're going to hell, but do you need a map to get there? Because they said go to hell. Anyway, I was teaching that, and I was eliciting from them different vocabulary words in English. So one of the questions was, well, who's going to go to hell? And it was amazing. Everyone responded equally, all 7 or 8 students that I had. They all said, politicians. Okay, so I put the word politicians on the board, and I told them we're making a list of who's going to go to hell, and they said, obviously, politicians, and with some thought. Now, some of the thought was they were native Polish speakers, so they were looking in their brain for English words, so there was some hesitation. But then there was also some hesitation because they just weren't really sure who's going to go to hell. And they finally came up with murderers. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, murders. You murder somebody, you deserve hell. In fact, many would say if you murder, you deserve to be hanged. You deserve to sit in the electric chair. Yeah? Or the very least, spend the rest of your life in prison if you take somebody's life. Yeah? So, even Bible, people that don't really believe the Bible would agree that murderers deserve the lake of fire. But what else here? It says idolaters. Oh, yeah. People say idolaters. If you have another god, if you have a false god, if you're making images, you deserve the lake of fire. Now, that might be shocking for some that are brought up in a religion that glorifies idolatry, that says idolatry is a means of faith. Let me tell you, my friend, if you see an image, you've lost faith. Because Faith is without sight. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And an image, something that you can see, cannot give you faith. The Word of God says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not seeing, but by hearing the Word of God. It comes from the heart, that God puts something in your heart and you respond to the promises of God. Unfortunately, there are religions that would encourage you to have faith, which is true. You need to have faith. Without faith, you can't please God. They want you to have faith, but they present to you visible priests, visible temples, visible idols, and this is called idolatry. And the Bible says all idolaters shall have their place in the lake of fire. All right, how about sorcerers? Oh man, somebody doing voodoo and witch stuff, doctor stuff, but I think sorcery also includes drugs. Yeah, there you go. Huh? You doing drugs? Some of you got legal drugs. It's legal. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. Sorcery. So some of these you would agree with. How about this one? Whoremongers. Any of you been to college? Whoremongers. You know what that is? That's fornication. That's sex outside of marriage. Thinking about this sermon, I came up with another new track. Sex outside of marriage is sin and will lead you to hell. That's going to be one of my new track. I'm going to pass out there at UTSA. By the way, if you want to come sometime, give me a call. I'll probably go out there tomorrow. So this list of sins, what does it say? Abominable, yes, the abominable. You know, things that are going down in secret's place. I think Sam asked me, I'm sorry about picking on you, Sam. I was not picking on you, but we have been talking. He says, Grandpa, what do you think about tattoos? And I said, not much.
Amen.
Well, then in the conversation, do you think it's sin or not? And that's a big question. I just said, you know, when I was younger, the only place you could get a tattoo was a creepy crawly place. You really went into some creepy places to get a tattoo, but now it's everywhere. It's the big thing. Interesting. But abominable. Abominable, something that's just terrible, vile. Did you know sin is vile?
Yeah.
So we look at this text and we think, yes, of course, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. Then it says, that hurt by the way, all liars. Yeah. All liars, all men are liars. We got a problem there, don't you? You ever lie?
Yeah.
You ever heard the fellow up there, I can't remember these names, I'm getting old, not only aches and pains, but memory is going. Good thing I remember my wife, I'd be in big time trouble. And I'm just thankful she remembers me, yeah. Brother up in New York, we met him way up there in New York, by the border of Canada, almost to Montreal, seems like. And he had a little tract that would ask people, are you a good person? And he was able to use that tract to great effect. We sat there, had dinner, and he had already had a couple waiters corralled, and he said, hey, can I give you a little quiz to find out whether you're a good person? Do you think you're a pretty good person? And both waiters, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good gal. I'm a pretty good guy. He said, well, let's find out. Let's just take a little test here. Just take a couple minutes. Let's find out. Have you ever lied? Yeah. Well, what does that make you? A liar. Have you ever committed adultery? No, I've never committed adultery. Well, have you ever lusted? And both the young men said, well, yeah. Well, Jesus said if you have lust in your heart towards a woman, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. What does that make you? An adulterer. And basically he just went on through the commandments and he says, well, we found out you're a liar, a murderer, and an adulterer. You're not so good after all. He said, that's right. What am I supposed to do? And he told him about Jesus. But in that group of words of people, it says, unbelieving. Does that astonish you? That God would count those unbelieving people in the lineup with murderers and sorcerers and whoremongers and all liars, that he'd put him in a lineup with them? unbelieving? Could you imagine going to prison? You know, the convicts are talking to each other. Yeah, what are you in for? Ah, armed robbery. What are you in for? Murder. What are you in for? Whoremongery. I committed adultery with some man's woman. I got caught and I'm in prison. What are you in for? Unbelieving. Shocking, wouldn't it? But do you know that God is looking for faith and demands faith?
Amen.
And when you refuse to believe God, that is an offense against God. So this morning I want to talk to you about unbelief. Because the Bible clearly says the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire. Look in Hebrews in chapter 3. I better get my phone out because it's halfway through my time and we're still on the first verse. He says, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You think that you're okay. Well, you know, I have some doubts about God and, you know, I don't fully trust Him. You know, what's the big deal? God says, that's an evil heart. You thought you're a good fella, but He says, that's an evil heart of unbelief and you depart from the living God. You cannot be in the presence of God without faith. And when you doubt God and refuse to believe God, you are called an unbeliever and it causes you to depart from the presence of God. Unbelieving. Unbelief is not merely a weakness of faith, it is a refusal to believe God and to receive His word as true. In another place, you call God a liar. We might read that here in a minute. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, not my favorite preacher, but one of my favorite preachers. Whitfield gets the number one spot, then maybe Spurgeon. He says, "Unbelief in itself is the greatest of all sins." Interesting. "Unbelief is the sin that turns the key of heaven against you. Unbelief is the parent of every other sin." Wow.
Amen.
That's some statements there. He says, faith looks at circumstances and sees God. Unbelief looks at circumstances and refuses God. We were standing on the elevator going up to the hospital to see our son Jason, and one of the doctors came in because it was stopping at every floor. You ever been on an elevator? Just how are we ever going to get there? Ding! And it opens. And then, you know, it's about ready to close and somebody comes, sticks their hand in there, and then they come in, and then it's about to close again, then somebody else, you just think you're never going to get there. And a chaplain walked in. Well, you could tell he was a chaplain, not because of his clothing, because he had a sticker on his coat that said chaplain. And so we recognized him. And everybody was, you know, they were getting a little bit antsy about, are we ever going to get there? And I just thought it would be appropriate to pipe out, "Patience is a virtue." It is a virtue, yeah? God gives us opportunities for patience.
Amen.
And sometimes it comes in an elevator. But the point is, circumstances in our life, we're either going to respond in arguing against God or disbelieve God or find new excuse for not seeking God, or we're going to see God here. I mentioned the other night, He's the God of the mountains and He's also the God of the valley.
Amen.
He gives and He takes away. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So unbelieving people shall have their part in the lake of fire. The question is, are you a believer in God? What are the consequences? What are the significations that you don't have belief? First of all, recognize it is a wicked and vile sin. It puts you in a company of those people you despise.
Right.
It puts you in a company of people that you would not normally want to hang around. Murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars. You like hanging around those type of people? Did you know that the devil is involved in causing people not to believe? From the very beginning of the scriptures, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the first two human beings, the devil showed up, and what did he say? Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? And when they responded, he said, you shall not surely die. Did you know that the devil is in the business of making you not believe God? Did you know that?
Amen.
It looks to me like an unbeliever is somebody that is a servant of the devil, or is in submission to the devil, or has been deceived by the devil. In the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gave that great parable of the sower and the seed. Do you remember? He says he went out and sowed the seed. Do you remember the parable? You remember it. Some of you are reading your Bible. Some of you are asleep. Some of you, you know, you're a little bit hesitant. You know, is this, you know, rhetorical question coming to get me or what? No, you remember that. You remember that parable. And he says the birds of the air came and stole away the seed. When he interpreted it, listen to what he said. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Did you know that your unbelief is an activity of the devil? That you allowed. Your heart had gotten hard and indifferent to the Word of God, and instead of receiving it, the devil comes and takes it out of your heart. Sounds to me like you're a friend of the devil. Unbelief. Titus in chapter 1, he says, unto the pure, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and, listen, unbelieving, is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Look at the description of unbelievers. It's not a good description. Would you agree? The description does not paint unbelief as just a sad circumstance. The Bible describes unbelief as rebellion against God. Amen. As disobedience against God. As a defilement of your conscience and heart. You are defiled if you are in unbelief. You thought you were a good little boy. 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Think about that for a moment. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Did you read that phrase there, or did you hear that phrase? If you don't believe God, he that believes not God has made God a liar. Now, Brother Lindell, maybe a greater portion of this congregation, since we're all getting older, not trying to exclude you young people, but when we were younger, if somebody called you a liar, that's them fighting words right there. You remember that?
Yep.
You don't call a man a liar. And we didn't have to have all these contracts. You gave a man your word, you shook his hand. And if you didn't keep your word, you got some trouble. We're going to go out and do some dancing. That was the old days, right, Brother Lindell?
Yeah. Your word was your bond.
There you go. I didn't realize you was an old man, but hey, brother, it's all right. But how dare you call God a liar?
Right. Amen.
Who are you to call God, an almighty God,
yeah,
a liar?
Mm-hmm.
He who cannot lie You're calling him a liar? You're a liar yourself.
Right.
All men are liars. And God is not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Did you notice this? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater.
Right.
Have you ever had somebody tell you, how can you believe God? That Bible was written by man. Okay. So what? Well, you can't believe what man says. Oh, really? Do you know who George Washington is? Well, he was the first president of the United States. Well, how do you know? I read it in a book. You mean a book written by man? Did you see him? Did you see George Washington? Anybody? Linda, you're not that old. You're not that old. I'm sorry. Did you see George Washington? But everyone in here knows that George Washington was the first president of these United States. Now that argument isn't so weighty in these United States because that was only like 250 years ago. But when you talk about the first king in Poland, that was like way long ago. Mieszko was the first king. And you ask a poll, was Mieszko the first king? Why, yes, of course. How do you know? I read it in a book written by man. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. If we can believe man, then why cannot with a man who is a liar, then why cannot we believe God who cannot lie? There are great promises of God when we believe him. We find, obviously, I think you can deduce from reading this, that those that stood in the presence of God, and God was amongst them, and he dwelt among them, and he said, death is no more, tears are no more, no more pain, no more sorrow. We can conclude that that group was a group of believers.
Amen.
Because unbelievers are not in heaven, they're in the lake of fire. And he says here about believing, if you believe, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Listen to the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has what? Has life. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. So the question this morning is not, are you a member of the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or the Baptist Church or the church meeting at Jesus in Jesus' name at 6020? No, that is not the question. The question that God Almighty is going to ask you is, do you have my Son or don't you have my Son?
Amen.
And how is it, brethren, that we get the Son? By believing.
Amen.
And how is it that we don't have the Son? By unbelieving. And if you don't believe, you'll find yourself in the lake of fire. What a terrible place.
Right.
I was talking to a couple of young men that were, they called themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And I began opening the Bible and showing them that there was a hell. And they said, you're just saying that because you want me to go to hell. I said, no, friend. No, no, no. If I could find a way that there would be no hell in the Bible, I would take it out. But I can't find a way because Jesus Christ himself spoke more about hell than any other prophet. And I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I don't tell you about hell because I'm trying to put you there. I'm telling you about hell because I'm doing everything I can to keep you out of hell. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you put your faith in him? Not in religion. Put your faith in him. Believe God. I don't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right. Yeah.
And Pete, bless God, get out and tell your friends about the Lord Jesus Christ so they don't find themselves in hell. Go out and deal with those sorcerers. Go out and deal with those whoremongers. Go out and deal with those murderers and tell them about Jesus Christ. Christ died for sinners and they can avoid the lake of fire if they would believe. Do you remember the story of Zacharias? Is that how you say his name? Zacharias? Luke chapter 1. Not Zacchaeus, not the guy in the tree. I'm talking about John the Baptist's dad. Don't confuse me. Luke 1:18, maybe you can figure out. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? The angel just told me he's going to have a son. Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Did you know there is a consequences for not believing? Many a man has failed because he failed to believe God, failed to trust God. I think it was the Apostle Paul while he was in the boat, and the boat was sinking, and he said something to this effect. I'm going to quote it wrong, but I have that in the back of my head. You can correct me if I'm wrong. He says, we're not going to perish because I believe God. Stay in the boat. Yeah. Look in Psalm chapter 78 and verse 19, talking about Israel. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for this people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Sorry, Sam, I'm going to give another example. Sam and Michael were at the gym. I just found this out this morning. Sam wanted to go out work with Mike, and Mike had us a friend that he works with named Myron. I was told they're on the second floor of the gym. They're on the treadmill, walking. And they could, on the treadmill on the second floor, they could look down and see people coming in. And, of course, Michael had told Sam that, you know, his friend's going to come. And when Myron came in, Michael said to Sam, there he is. He said, what's that? The biggest guy in the gym walked in the door. You're going to train with him. You push it until you fail, he said. But the point I'm making about this, you don't make people like that mad. You say, yes, sir, can I get you some coffee? Whatever you need. You don't want to anger the big guys, right? They'll crush you. Yeah? Just look at them, I'm intimidated. Yet people would dare to make God mad. They'd shake their fist at God. Can you do this? Isn't God able to do all things? Amen. Now the question is, how many times have you said that in your heart? Lord, my affliction is too great. The difficulties I'm facing is overwhelming. I can't do it. How many people have come to abject unbelief in God because of their circumstances, because of the difficulties they're facing? And the Bible says that God becomes angry at their unbelief. Didn't he pull Lazarus out of the grave? You got something worse than death? Didn't he heal the blind man? Didn't he help the deaf hear? Didn't he help the dumb speak? Didn't he make the cripple walk? What difficulty do you have that he can't overcome? Amen. Why do you doubt God? Unbelief is an abomination against God. It's an offense. And when you refuse to believe God, you're calling God a liar. And so our text says, and the unbelieving. shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Lord spake unto Aaron and Moses, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You can lose the blessings of God because of unbelief. We ought to cry out as that one man did to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen.
Unbelief ought to be a sin that we tremble at and we run to God. Oh God, I'm so weak and I realize that unbelief is an offense to you. Have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Amen.
Jesus says, if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In John chapter 3, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Maybe some of the problems that you're having in your life is because God's mad at you. Because you refuse to believe on Him. What is it that holds you back from believing God? Is it the devil? Is it the hardness of your heart? Is it because you are vile and corruptible? Is it because you're disobedient? You're a rebel against God? You refuse to believe? What more could God do that you might believe? You believe the witness of men. Why don't you believe the witness of God, which is greater? He said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, and if you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God wants you to believe. But how can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? There's another word in there that I didn't mention in our text in Revelation. It not only does it say the unbelieving, but it says the fearful. Wow. Fearful and unbelieving are lined up or sitting in the same jail cell with the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the murderers and the liars. Yeah, fearful. Some people are afraid to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because they're afraid of the faces of men. What will my friends say of me if I become a hallelujah? What will my mama say if I change religions? Well, I don't know. What will she say? What will God say if you don't?
Amen.
Depart from me, he said. I wrote some notes about unbelief and faith. Listen carefully. Unbelief questions the word of God. Faith believes God's word.
Amen.
Unbelief questions God's character. Unbelief trusts God's character. One thing about God, He's always faithful.
Amen.
Even though we're not, He's still faithful. He doesn't change like you do. Yeah? We change, don't we? One moment we're this way, the next moment we're that way. One moment we're happy, and the next moment we're sad. Everything's going well, and all of a sudden you're in a fight with your wife. You don't have any idea how it happened. Because we change. But God doesn't change. You can always count on Him. Unbelief looks at circumstances. Faith looks at Christ. Unbelief will get you, faith will get you out of the boat. Unbelief will make you sink. Ask Peter. Unbelief will produce fear. Faith will produce confidence. Unbelief dishonors God. Faith glorifies God. Unbelief will harden your heart. Faith will strengthen your heart. Unbelief leads away from God. Belief leads to God. Unbelief prevents God's blessings. Faith receives God's blessings. Unbelief ends in condemnation. Belief and faith ends in everlasting life, where our text said there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more death. The tears are wiped away. It's only life and joyous life in Christ Jesus. Oh, faith, glorious faith in Christ Jesus. Do you have the faith of Christ? You know the story of Thomas? The other disciples therefore said unto him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Don't you see that's rebellion? I will not believe. Are you rebellious this morning? God has given you great and exceedingly great promises. God that cannot lie, and yet you sit there and you say within your heart, maybe not audibly, but in your heart you say, I will not believe. I am not going to believe God. I'm going to complain. I'm going to murmur. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to use it as an excuse. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not going to do these things because God doesn't do what I want. I will not believe. Well, Jesus showed up in his life. Thank God. Isn't God merciful?
Amen.
Despite our rebellion, he still extends a hand.
Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray, and he leaves the 99 coming looking for us. He shows up to Thomas, and he says, behold my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless. Believe. When Thomas saw it, he believed. And the Lord said to him, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. That's you. You want the blessing of God? You have an opportunity to believe. The jailer said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You say, well, I don't have faith. I'm doubting. I have questions. I have concerns. He that heareth the word of God has faith, the Bible says, because it comes from the word of God. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God gave us exceedingly in great and precious promises, and he cannot lie.
Amen.
Men are liars. They'll lie to you through their teeth. You can't trust man, but you can trust God. Will you trust him? Will you trust him this morning? Will you believe him? The Bible says that the devils believe in God and they tremble. Yeah? It's not a great thing to believe in God. All the evidence points to him. But the question this morning is, I'm not asking you, do you believe in God? I would assume, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? You'd have to be a fool. Well, excuse me, the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So according to the Bible, you would have to be very foolish not to believe in God. Even the devils believe in God. But that's not my question this morning. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. My question this morning is, do you believe God? Because if you don't, that makes you an unbeliever, and unbelievers will have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. And I don't want you to go there. Christ does not want you to go there. He died on a cross so you wouldn't have to go there. And he says, if you put your faith in me and believe me and you believe I'm the Son, you will have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know how to make it any clearer. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to believe God. I'm not asking you to go on a great pilgrimage to Mecca or to San Juan de los Lagos or to DF or to Guadalajara. I'm asking you, will you believe God? I'm not asking you to come up here and confess to a priest. I'm asking you, will you believe God? I'm not asking you to give great sums of money. I'm asking you, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you take Him at His word? Or will you remain in rebellion? Will you have that hard heart that responds, I will not believe? My friend, that will lead you right into the lake of fire. Repent of your unbelief and believe God. Let's sing that song again. What number was it, Ed, that we sang? Jesus saves. Let's stand and sing it, 231. Jesus saves. Will you believe Him? He saves. Will you believe Him? Jesus saves. Before we go, Jesus saves. And if He has not saved you, and you have not been saved, you have doubts in your heart, I beg of you, come to me and talk to me. I'll open up the Scriptures and I will give you the Word of God on how you personally can be saved today. I would love to do that because I don't want you to end up in the lake of fire. If you're not sure about your soul salvation, please come talk to me or come talk to some of these other brothers that you have confidence in, and I'm sure they will open the Bible and show you from the Scriptures that Jesus indeed saves if you will believe. Amen. All right. May the Lord richly bless you. Have a great day.